Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community. This week sadly marks the final episode of MindTap. MindTap was created under the guidance of Professor Risa Ledbetter, a professor of microbiology here at ISU, and was produced by myself, Jessica Whitaker, and Christian Powell, who are both students at ISU. And the project was kindly supported by Idaho National Laboratory. Now, it was nearly 2 years ago when we all sat around a table and brainstormed ideas for the MindTap series. As a team, we decided that the aim of MindTap was to bring awareness and attention to important local mental health topics, and I hope that we've gone some way to achieving that goal. Over the course of the series, we've aired 17 episodes on topics ranging from opioid use to grief and loss and to suicide awareness. With the help of the local community, we've heard fascinating and sometimes inspiring stories. We've connected with clinical mental health experts and brought attention to the wealth of mental health resources that are available to our Idaho communities. And whilst today is a bit of a sad day because the series is coming to an end, I'm still smiling because I'm joined on Zoom by MindTap co-hosts Jessica Whitaker and Christian Powell. So guys, I'm stuck here in the studio. Where are you guys?
I'm coming to you from sunny Micanopy, Florida.
And I'm out here in the Smoky Mountains of Eastern Tennessee.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it's great to speak to you guys. I was thinking for our final episode, we could perhaps take turns sharing some of the things we've learned while creating MindTap and explain some of our highlights.
Awesome. So I think I can start. One thing that I learned was how different types of support can be really helpful for protecting or even healing our mental health. In my very first story, I interviewed Mia Murillo and Sydney Fellows, both members of the Shoshone Bannock tribes.
Dancing is so universal for everybody.
And Mia, the instructor for the Fort Hall dance crew, she explained how practicing dance routines together as a team can actually act as a bridge between the girls' physical health and mental health.
Dancing is in every culture, every heritage, just like music. Yeah, we all dance. It's something that makes us feel good and it gives us that energy that you can't get from anywhere else. And it is really good for your mind.
Mia told me that dancing can be a great way to promote good mental health and build confidence in yourself.
Thanks, Jessica. That was great. Your story had so much lovely background music. I really felt like I was transported to the Fort Hall dance practice. Is there another lesson you learned during the series?
I also learned that support can be important when someone is overcoming opioid addiction. And this probably goes for other forms of substance abuse. That support, it doesn't have to always come from people though. So a dog can actually be a tremendous source of motivation.
The following clip is an extract from Jessica's story on opioid addiction when she spoke to co-host Christian Powell.
So Cheech is a pit bull. He's 3/4 pit and 1/4 black lab. Anytime he sees me or hears my voice, that tail is just wagging, knocking things over. But he's just 75 pounds of love. And he was also a big reason that I was able to stick with it once I did get sober. I mean, because it was always in the back of my mind that, you know, it's either death or jail. So being able to think about, if this happens to me, what's going to happen to him?
I was able to relate with this part of Christian's story because I have a pet too. He's an orange cat named Copper, and he's my best bud. He depends on me, so it makes sense that the bond between a pet and an owner could be a powerful factor for overcoming addiction.
Yeah, guys, that was a really fantastic episode that you put together. And Christian, thanks for telling your story. But Christian, am I correct in thinking that this episode actually led to you doing some really powerful community work on helping to tackle opioid addiction?
Yeah, being able to share my experiences and help people dealing with similar situations has also been really important in making it feel like those experiences had any meaning. And so through this episode with you, Jessica, I was able to connect with Dr. Lawyer and become involved with a panel he'd put together and share my side of things with a community action committee of psychology students and mental health care professionals, with kind of the goal of helping them better understand opioid use disorder, or OUD,
and apply that personal aspect into providing better care for individuals suffering with that.
Yeah, that was a fantastic outcome from that episode. So, Christian, what is your highlight from the series?
So something that I found pretty powerful was during a conversation I had with Dr. Cameron Staley during an episode I did on community and mental health.
How we talk about things like depression or anxiety, we kind of say that these are just something that's happening to us. We don't really know where they're coming from. But often mental health disorders are arising out of conflicts in our relationships. So either relationships are disrupted, or we're not having adequate support, or we're not able to talk openly or consistently, or environments are consistently invalidating. And so often the result of that is depression.
I thought this was pretty important just because I think a big part of what the series was about, from my perspective at least, was pretty well defined within that clip, kind of where mental health is ubiquitous and it's really important to discuss outside of just the framework of strictly mental illness.
Yeah, that was a great episode, and thanks for sharing that highlight, Christian. Personally, some of my highlights were probably jumping into the freezing Portneuf River to test the Wim Hof method of cold exposure. I also thoroughly enjoyed the numerous conversations I've had with clinical mental health experts. But actually, I think the highlight that stands out the most was when I joined Daniel Hurd on a bike ride through Pocatello. Daniel Hurd was cycling the lower 48 states to raise awareness for suicide. And the following is a clip from our conversation.
So I definitely think there is a stigma around it still. It is getting better, a little bit every day, but a lot of it has to do with the lack of education. We know that suicide's a real thing. We know that suicide can happen to anybody.
Daniel Hurd's story was so inspiring, not just because of the supreme physical challenge that he was undertaking, but actually how it turned his own struggles with mental health into a positive for other people. And well, I guess with that, this will be the last time we'll be signing off. This has been such a great experience, and I'd like to thank Dr. Risa Ledbetter, Professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at ISU, and Jamin Anderson, the Interim General Manager of KISU Radio, for all their support in advising us, teaching us, and helping us create the series. I hope that through having conversations around mental health, we can all work together to tackle these issues, and as we said in the very first episode, try to make a small difference in our corner of the world. Remember, you can listen back to any of the episodes in the series by visiting the MindTap program link on kisu.org. Here, you'll also find links to local mental health resources. From myself, Jessica Whittaker, and Christian Powell, thank you very much for listening to MindTap.